Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I'm your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I'm joined by my husband and co-host,
the Kev on Stage. And I just want to say Melissa's not creative, although this whole set was created by her. Every furniture purchased, all the color schemes, looks amazing. Want to commend your non-creative self and say you did an amazing, not creative job at not creating an amazing set for us to sit in front of. This, once again, used to be a white wall. A non-creative person said, hey, I want something behind it. Purchased items, color coordinated them, isn't creative.
Imagine if she was creative.
If she was creative, she might be able to, I don't know, create a set like so. But since she's not, it's amazing what she's done being the non-creative person that she is.
So we're going to address this once and for all, and then we're never going to talk about it on this here podcast ever again. Okay?
As this, long as the answer is good to this, my liking.
No.
As this, long as the answer agrees with me, we will never talk about
it. We are never going to talk about this again on this podcast. But I have come to this conclusion regarding the creativity topic. And I was actually just talking to your brother, Jason, about this whenever he was here over the weekend. And he's a friend of the pod. And what I have decided is that I'm going to try to articulate this as best I can so people can understand my point of view. And that is, I believe that there are people that come into this world from Nay Mama and they are just naturally creative.
Okay.
I do not, I don't even not believe, I am not one of those people. I am not one of those people that are just naturally has this like creative gene. With that said, one thing I do know about myself that I've proven with learning to do makeup, even
which
like
is a creative art.
Let me finish.
I think
my
they're
thought.
Called makeup artists if they can
especially
do makeup.
On set, right?
Yeah, I feel like they're called makeup artists because it's art that they created. Color blending, right? Just like a painter.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You gonna let me finish my thought or not?
Sure.
Is you finished or is you done?
Go ahead.
So what I do know about myself is that I am a forever student and I feel that I can learn any skill. And so I feel like as I have gone into the quote unquote creative space, whatever that may look like, I have learned to sharpen that skill and that muscle. So I still do not consider myself like a creative as
so
much.
You,
let me finish. As much as
we're
I consider
it, I don't like the answer.
No,
just tell me
as much as I consider myself a student of something. So even when you're talking about like interior design, and that's not to say that people who do interior design don't learn, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
along the way.
I mean, like, nobody comes out of their womb like, you know what, as a baby, I wanted to do interior design.
But I feel like there are people who just are just naturally good at.
Okay, so
don't talk about interior design specifically.
I know.
But I'm just saying.
Let me say. I won't finish my thought.
No.
Kanye West. Would you consider him a creative?
Stop talking. I'm talking. You didn't let me finish my thought. I'm not going to let you finish your thought. So with that said, even when you're talking about like the creativity of this set, I like literally immerse myself in interior design online, like on YouTube. Even remember we went out to eat not that long ago and one of the ladies we saw at the restaurant,
you don't remember?
And I was like super excited. I was like, oh my God, I follow all of your videos. Anyways, so I like immersed myself to a point where I learned, I Googled like Oprah Winfrey set and podcast set and like all of these different sets to where I like taught myself. And so I do feel like at this point I can literally close my eyes and say, okay, this is what I want. This is how it's going to look. This should go here. This go. But it comes from a point of like I've educated myself to sharpen that skill. Okay.
Kevin, would you consider me a creative?
Yes.
Did I come out of the womb doing stand-up comedy?
You've been funny your whole life.
No, that's not what I asked you.
Yes, my answer is yes.
That's not true. Did I immerse myself in the world of stand-up comedy, watching stand-up comedians perform live, learning the tips and tricks, then practicing? How is that different from what you do? Kanye West, who I consider creative, he immerses himself in music, takes in a lot of music. Greg is creative when it comes to construction and building. He can visualize stuff. But then before he builds it, he says, okay, let me go research how to do this. Josh, who's a photographer, he studies other photographers. Every creative gains some of their creativity from the people who came before them.
Right.
So what I always feel like you're trying to do is lessen your skill by qualifying. Now, oh, I'm not creative. I just learned how to do this, which is what everyone does. An artist who learns how to draw practices, they study other people, they go to art school, they become more pronounced in their skill set. No one is a born creative. We all are creative and we all expand our skill sets. I think you are always trying to minimize yourself and your creative ability. Therefore, you have to qualify why I'm not just creative. I just learned how to do this.
Okay, so can I say two things?
If I agree with them.
I believe two things can be true.
This is not one of them.
Yes, it is. I do believe that there are people
who
obviously
who
pick somebody.
Your
I don't
sister
know.
Sister Melanie, would you consider her creative?
No, I think she's learned to be creative.
Mel said, I think there should be a children's book for little girls who highlights little girls.
Yes.
She went and bought children's book. She hired an artist. She created something out of thin air, and Mel wouldn't have considered herself a creative, but that's a creative act.
Right, right, right. But see, that's what I'm saying. We ain't going. We just disagree.
No, we are.
No, we're not.
Because you said we're not going to talk about this no more, and we ain't going to not talk about this until you say, you know what, Kev? I actually agree with you. I am creative. Let me just say one more thing.
I do not
agree
with
you. One of my jokes that is doing very well this tour, KevOnStage.com for dates, a whole entire joke that is killing was given to me by Melissa. She said, do not tell the joke because I'm not going to tell you until after this tour because I want you to know when you've heard it and you ask, I can tell you which one is hers because it's killed every night. And then this past weekend, she gave me another joke that killed a little more timely than the, or not timely, but relevant. This entire joke, she said, hey, Kev, you know what joke might be funny? If you said this, not only the joke, the beginning, the setup, the punchline, the tag, all given to me by a... Don't lie. Don't lie.
I didn't
lie.
Give you all that. Anyways, the point is we have a fundamental difference.
Now?
No, because you're not telling the truth, but it's okay. But we have a fundamental difference, and that's
what we
need
in
to
you,
start.
And you don't believe in yourself. That is a fundamental difference.
Shut up, Joshua.
And I've instructed Josh to take your side on everything. So if he ever takes my side,
Joshua never takes my side, though.
His core programming, and he knows
he
that I'm
broken.
Right.
Then Joshua is broken. Reprogram. Because he never takes my side. I tell you to shut up every day. How do I tell you you're not taking my side, which is not taking my side, and then I'm telling you to shut up about taking my side?
Just really did want to commend you, though. The set looks amazing.
Thank you. I actually do think I did a really good job, and I'm really am excited about it. But I just think that there are some things that are learned, and there are some things that are natural. And to say that I am a learned creative, I feel like would be a more natural, a more accurate.
Every musician learns their skill. Corey Henry, who I argue is the world's greatest pianist.
Call him right now.
Organist right now. He played as a child, but he continues to practice and learn and develop. Everyone is a learned creative. No one is naturally just an ability machine. They don't have to do any practice. Their creative juices just flow out of them.
No. I think you're not understanding all the way what I'm saying. Obviously, you're going to sharpen any natural skill that you have. But what I am saying is there is a difference between talent and a skill.
Okay.
And so what I am saying is that I do not have the talent of this. I've learned it. Of course, it now, even makeup, there are people that are just like, I just been doing hair my whole life, even as a little toddler, like I just kind of figured it out. And then you learn, oh, this is how you're supposed to do this. Oh, this is how, everyone's going to go through and sharpen that. I'm just saying I didn't like come out or naturally have this interest in the creative space as much as it's been developed.
Let me tell you what
time.
Melissa's lying about.
Okay, so
in her early life, Melissa played what? Did you play an instrument, I believe?
Wait, what does that have to do with anything? I learned that. I didn't have it natural.
Oh God, Melissa. She was a first chair saxophone player.
We have a fundamental difference that we
are
not going to agree
musician.
On.
You are a musician. Melissa can still play the sax.
That was a stretch.
Can you not play the sax?
That was a stretch.
Do you know how to read music?
I can read music best when I have a little bit of wine in me. And this is why I want to tell you about First Leaf. They are amazing. We've talked about this a gazillion times before because they're friends of the podcast, friends of our lives, because whenever you're going out, listen, in real life, when you don't want to have an argument with your husband about creativity, have a stay-at-home date, because stay-at-home dates are inexpensive. They don't require a lot of planning. And all you have to do is get together a nice little dinner, a nice glass of wine, and sit and talk and look each other in the eyes and tell them how much you love them and not about how much you disagree with them. And First Leaf gives you the opportunity to do just that. All you're going to do is go onto their website. You're going to take their wine quiz to assess your exact wine drinking preferences, whether you like dry wine or sweet wine or robust wine or subtle wine. They'll allow you to take your the assessment, figure out what you like, and then they're going to send you a sample pack based on your preferences. An introductory 6-pack of wine for only $29.95. You're going to taste them, rate them, and that will allow them to curate your next shipment based on what you like and what you don't like. Sign up with my link and you'll get an exclusive intro offer, 6 bottles of wine for only $29.95.
Wow.
Plus free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/love. That's 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 plus free shipping. One more time, you're going to go to tryfirstleaf.com/love.
Love.
All right. We're putting a button on that now, henceforth and forevermore. From now until Jesus' return, we shall not have this conversation again. Okay, moving on. So what we want to do for the month of, what month are we in?
We are in March.
I want to lay low on all of the heaviness that I've given here recently, even though I really enjoy it. I understand that a lot of us just want to hear me and Kev argue about what creativity means.
Yeah.
And that's always a lot of fun. So we are going to just take it light this whole month, actually, and talk about some pop culture things and just kind of take it light. Okay, so
I'm a big fan of this. We had the trauma episode. It was BDSM.
It was a lot, but I enjoy it so much. But I also understand that there is something to be said about just being. And I'm always one of those people. Every book that I read, I'm trying to like learn something or grow or become better. Like, this is an area that needs work on. Start working on it. So read a book about it. And so it's just sometimes you're just like, can I just inhale, exhale, and just like be me for a minute. And so that's what I want to do. But also, I don't know if this is going to be light, but I do want to do a Melissa 2.0 update episode.
Woo! Melissa 2.0 is creative.
Hello. I do want to do a Melissa 2.0 update episode, but I think that's going to be
light series.
Yeah. I wanted it to be today, but I kind of flip-flopped them, so we'll do this today. So what we're going to do today is a live Q&A. If you have not joined our Patreon Stage Crew family, you absolutely should. Where can they go, Kev?
This is me watching them live. You can go to kevonstage.com, click the Patreon. They're watching live. They got the live cam. We watch the Love Hour live, Dear Kev live, Righteous and Ratchet live, and we take your questions and we listen to you more.
Yes.
Than the people.
So we're going to take their questions today. And some questions from my book club, where we're reading Lovey's book, The Do Better Manual. I'm judging you, and it is quite hilarious.
Lovey's great.
Yeah, she is. Funny. And she's really funny. And again, in the spirit of like lightening things up, that's why I picked that book. Okay, so the very first question, actually, I want to tie back to last week.
Okay.
And that question is, did you watch The Reunion?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, everyone's asking us to do like an update on what we thought about The Reunion.
First of all, I don't like Nick Lachey saying, obviously, I'm Nick Lachey. I watched the first 5 minutes of it. Take it easy, Nick.
Yeah.
It's not really that obvious anymore. The show's not about you. That show would have been the same without you. I could have hosted that. A small cat could have hosted that show. Hello? It was going to be a smash. So obviously, I'm Nick Lachey. Obvious? Is it obvious? It's not obvious. If you're 20 years old, you probably don't know who Nick Lachey is.
That's true.
You don't care.
That's true.
It's been a long time since 98 Degrees was popping. Probably since 98.
Yeah, these are facts.
Okay, I don't even know the other dudes. It was Nick Lachey. Well, that's going to help his argument. Yeah. But the other dude from, who was it?
I don't know. AJ was one of them. Carter, something
Nick
Carter.
Nick Carter. No, was he in Backstreet Boys?
Wait, Nick Lachey is from Backstreet Boys.
No, he's from 98 Degrees.
Oh, well, I don't know none of the 98 Degrees people.
My point is, Nick Lachey, take yourself a little less seriously, bro. It's been a minute.
Oh my God, that's so
obviously
funny.
I'm the cliche.
The only boy band group I can name, all of them, is NSYNC, and I don't feel no two ways about it. I used to love
NSYNC. I can't
NSYNC.
Even name all them. Justin, JC.
JC Chevette. Oh, wait, maybe I can't. Who's the one that went to the moon? Aaron. Nope.
No, that's Nick Carter's brother.
Oh my gosh.
See?
He
Most
went
of those
to the
group,
moon.
After two.
Nicholas, sit down.
Okay, I'm not going to remember. Anyway. It doesn't matter. Okay, so my final thoughts on the reunion show are thus.
Lance Bass. That's what we were trying
yes,
to pick up.
Yes, Lance
you.
Bass.
Just my two cents.
Yes.
That was a good two cents.
It was a good two
Joey
cents.
Joey Fatone.
Yes, and Joey Fatone.
He's a Backstreet Boy.
Yes. Okay. So, my final thoughts on the reunion are that, number one, yay for Amber. The only thing that my only like critique is that she actually did not more aggressively, and low key she kind of went in though. I wanted to say hit her, but let me not advocate violence.
Jessica did not realize how bad she looked until the reunion.
No.
She was just like, eesh.
Well, and it's also kind of hard because you don't realize how big the show is going to
Absolutely.
Be.
Absolutely. They shot this in 2018.
And so it is, you know, a little bit difficult. But I mean, yay for Amber. I am still nervous for Amber and Barnett.
Really?
I feel like, yeah, their relationship is probably super volatile. I feel like they have like an intense physical connection and kind of working through their personality traits and learning one another. Although it's been a year and a half, maybe they're better now. But in the moment, I was like, ooh, child, I kind of could have saw that coming from when y'all was on the island. So that was my issue, or not my issue, but my thing with that. And honestly, Barnett, to me, I don't know if I said this on the last episode, he had the biggest like character arc to me.
Yeah.
As far as the way they edited him is what I'll say in the beginning to like who he turned out to be.
Yep.
Really impressed. Really, really super impressed with him actually. And then Gigi or G, whatever she goes by, and Damien. People don't like them. I love them.
People don't like them?
Yeah. I think people aren't really here for them. I think that she has grown. I think she learned that kind of like toxic, although people were all on Damien and I was like,
all on him for like what?
Like trying to say he was the one being a narcissist. And maybe I need to watch it again to kind of see that point of view. But to me, I was like low key.
She just hit him with that one barb that was ridiculous though.
No, that was foul.
That was like,
that was absolutely
girl.
Foul. But I did feel like she did have a lot of up and down. I felt like she was constantly testing him. And that's not fair to push somebody to the limit as a test to like, are you still going to come back to me?
Right.
That's not really fair. So, but where they are today and the growth that they seem to have displayed at the reunion, I'm here for.
Yeah.
I think he grew. I think she grew. They seem to be in a much happier, better, healthier position. So I was here for it. I like them together. Lauren and Cameron obviously are forever faves. I have DM'd them. I have emailed them.
He was rapping on Sway's Universe.
Was.
I'm like,
all
right,
I knew that
Cameron,
they were in LA because I hawk and stalk everything that
they live
do.
Here or they were just here?
No, they were just flying in, doing some press. They visited Netflix and all of that. And so I actually watch Lauren's Instagram stories like incessantly. And so she like recorded when they were like going on the plane and that kind of thing. So I knew they were coming to LA. So I was like, let me dear you, my name is no response on my email. My DM was seen by.
They're like going on Ellen. Like
yeah,
they,
exactly.
We,
after
we
I saw that,
bit.
I was like, okay, I get it.
They literally have the biggest outlets available to them.
But when they were doing like all of their like podcast run and stuff, I was talking to Jason about that. I was like, we need to figure out a PR team that puts us in like, if you guys are doing a relationship show and you're trying to hit and market to like black young people, listen, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but like I feel like we would be a reputable place to like sit down and talk to.
I agree.
I just kind of feel like, why weren't we like listed? And then when I looked at the podcast that they went to, I was like, we hit numbers like that. You ain't no bigger than me. So I'm like,
talk
trying
your
to think,
talk,
listen,
Liz.
For real,
big
though.
Boss status ain't no secret. Yay, la-di-da-di-da.
I was about to say BDE, but I don't think that applies to me. Okay, disregard.
Big coochie energy, though. BCE.
That's not a thing, though, is it?
Yeah, big coochie energy. We can make it a thing.
Okay, not a thing.
She got big coochie energy. Not like a big coochie, but like
yeah, it doesn't
big
work the same.
Coochie
okay,
energy.
We're moving on. So anyways, That's how I feel about that. Who else did I miss? Mark, I'm happy for. I hope that his
Fish-eyed guy.
I hope that his DMs. You better stop. I'm trying to get them on the show. Mark? Cut it out. All of them. I literally cannot stand you.
I don't want them though.
Stop it.
I don't want Jess.
Stop attacking. I think that
big poom poom energy. That's it. Somebody said that in the comments. Big poom energy. Buck buck buck. Big poom.
Kev's big supposed to be poom. Out of pocket this whole episode because I big gave him poom, poom. The leeway to do that.
Big poom wagwa may you. Big poom energy up in the place. Buck buck. Tom Hanks son patois. Big poom. Big poom poom energy. You need to sell that shirt.
Okay, so anyways, I hope that his DMs are completely flooded and that he finds happiness because he deserves and he's Mark, a good yeah, he's a good guy. Flooded.
With optometrists. I can't. We can correct this whole thing you got going on. We're going to get your eyes right here. I feel bad for Mark though. That's why you got to have some more self-respect, bro. It was obvious she was trying to play you, bro. Like He was still trying to get love. With
her, actually, on the on the reunion, low-key.
He was?
That door was left ajar. That's all I'm going to say.
She treated him so trash.
Yeah, whatever.
Big boom, boom.
I hope that Jessica... You're about to explode Joshua's ears. Yeah? I hope that Jessica goes to therapy.
Bruh. I'm telling you, I be getting a lot of Dear Kev letters, women be trash. Jessica is a perfect example. Women be trash.
Oh, no, no. She was,
just... I said this with Angel. She was an F-boy.
She was.
She was what you thought Barnett was.
Absolutely.
She was.
Absolutely.
And he actually was like, actually, no, this is kind of... And she was just like, everything that was wrong and bad, she did.
Yeah, she was terrible.
And she looked super old in the reunion.
She did. But she looked beautiful on her wedding day.
When she ran away from him.
She did run away, but she did. I thought that black glam squad, I was completely here for it. And then who else did we miss?
Carlton and the girl.
Oh, Carlton and Diamond. I thought that... I hope that Jessica and Carlton are in therapy together. That's it.
Oh, Carlton.
Yeah. And
Jessica, I thought you meant the Diamond.
No.
Jessica and Carlton. Yes. Got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I hope that Diamond finds happiness she deserves. And I hope that she's able to heal because we talked about this before. Love being a risk. Mm-hmm. And so when you are all in and someone tramples on your heart, like that's what makes people afraid to be vulnerable.
Absolutely.
And so you go on this show recognizing that like there's no possibility, and then you get caught up in this moment and you believe that like, oh my god, what if? Mm-hmm. And then you meet him in person and he's like the total opposite, just completely goes flip mode. Like that's heartbreaking, even if they only knew each other for 30 days,
right?
Like that's heartbreaking. So,
and you gotta be embarrassed too.
Yeah, it is embarrassing. It is.
Everybody was watching that show.
Yeah.
I know she probably was like, I don't know. You had a lot of stuff be on Netflix. Maybe this, oh my God, everybody in the world knows me.
Yeah.
So, and he and said her wig was slipping at the end. And you knew it was slipping in the beginning.
You're
supposed to love and protect her.
Yeah, he was completely foul for that. So that's kind of my wrap-up thoughts. Did you have any wrap-up thoughts on that? Mm. Okay, so we're going to take, you guys, Patreon, you can ask your questions. I'm going to go to these other questions on here right now. Ready?
Big poom poom energy.
Okay. Any concerns with the conference and the coronavirus scare?
Oh, snap. I didn't even think about that. Nah. No, I don't think so.
I don't think I do either.
People go to church every Sunday still. I mean, in my mind, you can't really predict that. If that happens, we'll deal with it at the time. My grandma was just texting me, baby, is you going to have to cancel the show? So like... Listen, this is an unprecedented thing, but I haven't even thought that far at all.
I think that we will, as we get April, May timeframes, if things don't look better, and especially if it seems to be getting worse, we'll definitely contact the venue to make sure that we have precautions in place as far as...
It'll probably be a rescheduling, not a cancellation.
A rescheduling...
Of the conference. Like Coachella.
If it has to come to that. But what I'm saying is I would rather have, like, can we make sure that we have, like,
Hand washing.
Yeah, hand washing.
The crazy thing about the coronavirus is everybody's freaking out, and the CDC is like, just basically wash your hands.
I know.
If you just basically wash your hands.
That's
and
what
if
I'm saying.
Stay home.
It's better to like
that's stuff we knew. It ain't like something. Oh, you've got to. You know, it's a respiratory thing. You got to air quality. It's literally the same thing we should have been doing. By the way, so funny, when I was at the airport, you know, people don't be in the bathroom. The bathroom is not usually full. The amount of people washing their hands when I just landed back in L.A., I was like, okay, so y'all just weren't doing this before. The bathroom was freaking pandemonium. And a dude still peed and walked straight out of the bathroom. I'm like, you just don't care about life.
Well, that's the thing. People don't care. People don't have good hygiene. And I mean, at the end of the day, I think as long as you are taking the necessary precautions. However, if you are sick, don't come. Like, don't go out. You know what I mean? That's how things spread. But I think as long as you are like doing what's necessary to take care of yourself, I think on a personal level, I'm not all that fearful.
Yeah.
But I also, we're talking about this group versus Coachella is this many people.
Yeah, we're talking about 500, 600
much,
people.
Yeah, so that's...
And Coachella's a lot of drugs and...
Yeah, it's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of my feelings on that. Anything else you want to add?
Big Poom Poom energy is what I want to add. Big Poom Poom energy! You have Big Poom Poom energy, Liz.
I did today a little bit.
You did?
I did a little bit. Melissa, for all the books you've read on the subject, what has helped you the most get out of your own way in the bedroom? Of course, without getting too personal, and what ways could you still grow in that area?
Oh, snap.
I know. That was a great question.
That was.
I know. I liked it. That's why I picked it. And I like Alicia, too. She's sweet. Okay, so... I've said, again, it always goes back to like what I said even at the beginning of the show when we were talking about creativity. I am a forever student. And I've actually learned, I'm a segue, like go off on a tangent and then I'll come back. I've actually learned the good and bad with that. Did I just tell you this revelation too? I've been like really self-examining myself this week. This is why I need like levity in my life. Because I really do feel like I am a forever student. The problem with being a forever student is that I'm always in the role of like, teach me, that I have a hard time taking the authority to teach.
Someone else?
Yeah. So okay. Like in this setting, it's my own setting. Like obviously I can enjoy this all the time.
Yeah.
But when I'm with someone, especially when I'd be like, you kind of not saying that correct. Or actually that is not.
You won't correct
right.
them?
I won't correct them.
Really?
Yeah. I have a hard time. Kev over here with that coronavirus.
I need to clear my throat.
You drink some water, dude.
I'm drinking it.
You said you got a fever? Let's check your symptoms.
I got no fever. I had this cough for like a minute. It won't go away.
I know. So that is my like, you know.
Explain that cough, somebody said.
You need to. That's kind of my hesitation with that, is that I sometimes find myself always in the role of student.
And never actually going to the
yeah,
active
and being able
it.
To say like, oh, I know enough about this subject. Like, I can tell you, like, I'm an authority figure on this subject, and I can tell you, like, that's actually
If you were a white man, you would not feel no way.
Oh, I know. Me and my sister have this conversation all of the time, and not just white men, men in general.
Men, too. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I can speak on this.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, oh, I have an opinion, so that makes me an authority.
Yes.
And I don't operate on opinion. I'm like, what does the research say?
Yep.
Let me read a book about it before I come to you with some knowledge, or, you know what I mean? Like, I always want to make sure that what I'm saying is based in fact and not just like, this is my lofty opinion about it.
Yeah.
And so, but because of that, I also find myself always hesitating, because I'm like, well, do I really know? Have I read enough on it? Well, is that a credible
source? Why do you think
you
have to be validated so much before you feel confident to speak on something?
I think because my natural gifting is teaching, I take it seriously, the information that
you
I
don't
put
want
out.
To speak
I don't
wrong.
Want to speak anything wrong, and I never want what I say to for someone to be led astray.
Got it.
I never want that.
Yeah,
so
I
always want to like.
But then that sometimes hinders you from saying
right,
anything at all.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like good and bad. So I always feel like as long as I'm learning from an expert, I am a very teachable person.
Yeah, for sure.
I completely immerse myself in the makeup world, and now I'm at a point where I don't consider myself an artist, but. Like, I can beat my own face. Like, I can make it happen. I wouldn't consider myself an interior decorator, but listen, for the past 6 weeks, I've watched every video on this here YouTube, okay? Every single one. I've followed every single account.
You wouldn't consider yourself an author, but you've written a book?
And so, Okay, stop it. But my point is, I've now learned this is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. This is how to make this do this. This is how learn your, like, I've learned all of that. So that's all I have to say about that. So I really feel like education is the biggest piece for me in anything that helps me, like, learn. What do you have to say?
Mm-hmm.
What would they say?
What'd they say? Let me go back. List got Kevin what?
A taste of C. No,
we
got List got Kevin taste his own seed. That's what that cough probably.
Oh,
seed.
That's funny.
That was weeks ago.
It was. But if you're having trouble tasting your own seed and maybe you would like to, Blue Chew is here to help. They are a friend of the podcast. We absolutely love and adore Blue Chew. As a matter of fact, in my book club, one of the ladies commented and was like, shout out to Blue Chew, because as a higher desire woman, I just want to say thank you because we had a great night. And I was like, yes, you're welcome. And so to Blue Chew, thank you so much for allowing high desire women to get the night that they deserve and men the erection they deserve. If this is your first time listening to the podcast and you don't know what Blue Chew is, you should ask me, Melissa, what's Blue Chew?
What's Blue Chew, Liz?
Blue Chew brings you the first chewable tablet with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, which can be really embarrassing, and you feel like everyone is looking at you and judging you. So being able to do this from the comfort of your own home, but have the advice of a licensed physician is something that's really important. They're made in the U.S. and since Blue Chew is prepared and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, if you're waiting for your special night, if you're waiting for the erection that you deserve, if you are a woman and you are hot and bothered and you are looking for the night that you deserve, what you are going to do is go to bluechew.com, enter promo code love, and you get to try Blue Chew for free. Just pay $5 for shipping. Mm-hmm. Again, go to bluechew.com, enter promo code love, try it for free. Just pay $5 for shipping. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice to an erection. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. I also want to tell you about Rothy's. Why? Because feet be hurting.
And
if you have a job that, what'd you say? Shut up. Okay, well, hold on a second. Feet be hurting. So you need comfortable shoes to allow you to accomplish everything on your to-do list, which normally includes running errands, going here, there, and everywhere. And you want a comfortable pair of shoes that are not only comfortable, but you don't want to sacrifice style. And while we're at it, listen, they started making other things too. They make bags for on the go, because when you live in states like California where you have to pay 10 cents, if you don't have your own bag in the store, yes, that is a thing. You have to pay 10 cents if you do not bring your own bag to the grocery store. You want a bag that is environmentally friendly, that's cute, and it's going to last. You can throw it in your car, go to the grocery store, and be like, I got my stuff, get my 10 cents back. They're carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials like repurposed plastic bottles and marine plastic. And they're crazy comfortable and fully machine washable. Rothy has quickly grown to the most loved gotta have brand. It's no surprise they have over nearly 1,000 perfect reviews. Check out the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/lovehour. That's rothys.com. That's rothys.com/lovehour. Comfortable style and sustainability meet to create your favorite new styles. Head to rothys.com/lovehour.
Love hour.
All right, did I answer that fully question? That question fully?
No, you didn't talk about how you got better at sex in the bedroom because of the books you read.
Hello? Didn't I say education? I didn't know where that was going. That's why my eyes got big and then they
you didn't talk specifically
down.
About like how you learned to flip that thing down, flip it in reverse.
So
your 50-50 man yet.
Books, definitely. Education definitely helps. I feel like I feel like the older I get and the more comfortable I get in my own skin and the more comfortable I get with like challenging some of the things that I was taught growing up, the better I am at this age. Does that make sense?
In the better, you mean?
I said
the more comfortable you are in your skin, the more comfortable I am in your skin.
Okay. But it also comes from
big poom poom energy.
I hate all of you here today. I do. I think that you realize that you are a blank slate coming into this world, and people impose their beliefs on you and their morals and values on you, and you never had an opportunity to start blank and learn for yourself. And so I feel like as I'm like stripping away all of that.
That's actually so true.
Yeah.
So Jay Versace said this. He said, do you realize you all we are is someone else's thoughts?
Absolutely.
Someone else thought of so much of our culture, like so much of our DNA, me and you specifically, is black culture, black church, like, and that's all an imprint mm-hmm. of, you know, if even if our parents weren't born in the, or neither of our parents were in the military, we'd have a totally different outlook on life.
Right.
And me and Melissa were talking about this last night. So much of what we were taught that we took as gospel that we unlearned.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, we're ever changing, ever learning. And that's kind of one of the beauties of marriage, being married to the same person. Is being part of that growth pattern, because, you know, so much of our marriage has changed. We were just talking about this last night. We were talking about, somebody actually asked about moving. Had we not moved, our life would be entirely different.
Oh, yeah. If our parents would have just
retired and both lived in Washington, and our, you know, Nick and Mel would have stayed and my brother would have stayed, it would have been that much harder to move here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And if we didn't move here, Josh's life would be different. Greg's life would be different. You know what I mean? Like, all these things kind of work together. Like, if you didn't support me on this move, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be on tour and I'd be like doing stand up and I'd be like, this is like crazy. Mm-hmm. But you supporting me allowed that to happen. You know right. what I mean? Like, because it was a comedian we were talking to me into here. Like, he had a baby and his girl was like, you need to help me with this baby. And
yeah.
He's like, man, but I want to do stand up. Like, so he can.
Yeah, right.
Like, he had to get a regular job and that stunted his stand up comedy career. So you being like, all right, I'll do the house stuff, I work the regular job, like, part of you saying you're not creative and just being comfortable with working a regular job allowed us to be at this point.
Right.
And I, you know, this is why I could never leave you for a white woman, because you are the reason we're here. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm the one on stage, you held down the house and supported me literally, financially, emotionally, and even with my jokes, because we haven't talked about this in depth, but the beginning of this tour, my stand-up confidence mm-hmm. was in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm not funny. I can't do this. I'm not funny. I'm going to keep coming out with new jokes and nobody loves me anymore. And Liz was like, you need to set up as many LA shows as you can. You need to do this, do that. And don't worry about me. Don't worry about the boys. Get out there and make sure that set is tight. And I was like, yes, ma'am. I will do that. You know what I mean? So we talk a lot about dynamics, and I think that's important. And in the bedroom also, you didn't say this, but I know this is true. Another big part of it is the comfortability in your relationship.
Yes.
If you are feeling secure in your relationship, loved, supported, seen, heard, valued, it allows you to feel more free in the bedroom. I just got a Dear Kev question that I'm not going to answer because it's dead serious. And I'm like, sometimes I feel bad about making fun of people. Yeah. Most of the time I don't, but sometimes I do. But, you know, basically what she was saying is, my husband doesn't respect me. He just wants me for sex. Like, and he, you know, he's just using me for it, basically. And it's like, if you're not feeling seen in your relationship, you're not going to feel comfortable in the bedroom.
Absolutely not.
And when we were going through last year and we were, you know, Melissa 1.5 before you got to 2.0, it was affecting every part of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And until that part feels good, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to feel comfortable in there, because that is your most vulnerable. You're literally naked. You're opening up your orifices to penises and tongues and fingers and vibrators and butthole plugs.
I don't know why.
Anal beads.
Doughboy, don't ever look at me like that when he's living off a list like that.
Okay, banana out of the coochie guy over here. He feels a different way about it.
Wait, did you guys talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, we had a whole Amsterdam episode.
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
Kevin, we're live. Don't fall for the banana and the coochie. Forget the tailpipe. It's the banana and the coochie you don't want to fall for.
Oh, my God. Okay. I know what I'm saying.
Because you looked up when I said butthole plug.
Yeah, no, he looked at me.
You're like, butthole plug, miss.
This ain't the Rona. Just
first of all, the fact that you nicknamed it, me, y'all been friends for a long time.
Let a Rona be out there. I just have a cough I can't shake.
Okay, so did we answer that question fully? One of the things that I think is really important that you kind of hit on, and I want to just not make this deep, but sometimes I do, is that the three questions that people are always asking in their relationship is, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do you value me?
Yeah.
And we talked about that as far as intimacy. Yep. Those are the, with sexologist Shamir, those are the three questions people are asking all of the time. Yeah. In some way or another, that's at the root of what you're asking. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Do you value me?
Yes.
And when a person isn't feeling that, those three levels of connection, that is a break in intimacy.
Yeah.
And it is hard to be vulnerable with someone who you don't feel
absolutely
safe with.
One and thing that you didn't say that, I forgot. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say that goes back to what I have learned is that a lot of us have feelings, and again, I've said this a gazillion times, so this ain't new if you've listened to the podcast. One of the biggest things was learning what I was actually feeling, putting words to what I was feeling, being able to accurately articulate what was going on, what I was thinking. Why am I feeling like this? What's going on with me? Why don't I
just feel open it?
If y'all heard him.
God.
Why don't I feel a connection to Kev? Why don't I feel safe? Why don't I feel like going through those questions and realizing, oh, this is why. Yeah. Oh, this is what's going on. Oh, this. So then we can come to the table and learn to do better.
And also for me to help you, a lot of times it's important that I understand what the complaint is.
Yes.
Because early, I remember before we got to vulnerability, it was we don't talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let's put our phones down and talk. And then that wasn't working. And you were saying, okay, it's not talking. It's, okay, our talking is surface level.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about deep stuff. Let's talk about hopes and dreams, blah, blah, blah. And then we did that. And then that wasn't working. You're like, actually what it is, and I don't remember how long it took you to drill down, like you're not being vulnerable enough, sharing your fears. And then that was like a breakthrough. And right, that's one of the things that I think that we really offer a lot of on this podcast is giving people the voice of their feelings so they can say, oh, this is what I've been feeling. Right. I can say this and then I can express that to my partner. And I think that's kind of what really helps also. And another thing in the bedroom that you've said before, you didn't say today, you had to own your own sexuality.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think there was a big part of our life or my need to fix it where I was like, I'll help you. I feel comfortable. And then I had to you realized and shared with me like that. I don't need you to do this. I'm going to do it. And there's nothing you can do. And then I don't remember, was it Emily or the Higher Desire? Maybe it was Higher Desire. What was her name? The Higher Desire doctor from North Carolina.
Oh, I forgot.
But she was saying you are responsible for your own orgasm.
From Foreplay Sex Radio.
Yeah. And I was like, hold up, now what? You know what I mean? So things like that are really, were really helpful to me to understand that it wasn't something that I could fix, you know.
Watson, Lorianne Watson.
Lorianne Watson. I thought it was Laura, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I was like, Laura Dern?
Yeah.
That's the girl from Marriage Story.
Okay, did you see any questions in the Patreon? If not, I have another one.
Go ahead. I saw one, but I got to go back and find it.
Okay, put your questions in the Patreon. We're answering your questions live. Okay, with,
I got one.
Okay, go.
This, Angelica says, military kids, what advice would you give military parents? What help or resources do you wish you had as a child?
So the question is, as military kids, what advice would you give military parents or what advice would you give military kids?
What resources do you wish you had as a child?
Oh, what resources do I wish I had?
That's a question I wanted. One thing that the good thing about the military for the kid is that everybody was, well, living on a military base is a lot easier than not.
Yes.
Because when you're living on a military base, you feel like everybody's going through the same thing.
Yes.
My dad goes TDY. He's gone for 6 months. That's common. People's dads are always coming and going. So mm-hmm. you don't feel like, my dad ain't here.
Right.
Dad goes to the field. Like when me and Melissa were there, her dad be in the field for 2 weeks, he come back. My dad go be in the field for 2 weeks. My dad actually sat us down and said, it's Army first, family always is the thing they told them. And he was like, guys, but you need to understand that Army first means that's before you guys.
Yeah.
So my dad used to have to do some like traveling quickly and for a long time. That was kind of the hardest part for me. So the advice is, it's kind of the advice that we give our kids. Like we don't live a traditional lifestyle.
Yeah.
I'm going to be traveling a lot. Your mom's going to be traveling a lot. And because of that, you're going to get to do some things that you wouldn't normally get to do or that other kids won't get to do. But you're also going to have a difference in life where you're, I'm going to be gone more than most kids' dads are going to be. So we found that with our kids, and I know they're not military kids, but you can apply the same logic. Talk to your kids like regularly.
Yeah.
Like
keep them informed.
Keep them informed of like, yes, I'm going to travel. I'm going to be on tour. And take their advice
yes.
or their suggestions. Like when Joe was like, yo, y'all both being gone a lot is a lot. And then when y'all are both gone, can it be a family person as opposed to a babysitter? Like, and then really like listen to their things. Because what we had to learn as military kids and what our kids have to learn, there's some things you cannot change.
Right.
Like when you're in military, you're going to be moving every 3 to 5 years. That's not going to change. So having important family time is important because you're going to be, you know, especially that first 6 months in a new duty station, you're going to feel like you don't know anybody,
yeah.
you know, and all that type of stuff. So I think you got to have your core really tight. Game nights, core family fun was really important, and just constant communication with your kids is going to be imperative.
That was good. Next question. How do you guys manage unnecessary critique, comments, or judgment from the super traditional Christians who view your work as too progressive, who view your progressive work ideas and platforms as too secular?
I don't really pay attention to that much anymore.
To it?
Mm-mm. I just feel like the quite honest truth is 10 years ago, I would have been mad at my own self.
Actually, Kevin and I have this conversation all the time that sometimes we're shocked at ourselves at yeah. how far we come because we come it literally
this
we have really far. And sometimes I can feel myself judging myself
yes.
for being at this point.
Let me tell you about masturbation. Growing up,
Segway?
We were taught you nah. ain't supposed to spill no seed. Bro, Onan, I feel like his name was. He spilled seed, and that's all. You can masturbate. You can masturbate at Onan and spill that seed. That thought was first challenged for me about 5 years ago by a pastor online. And I was like, hold up, now what you're talking? And he was basically saying, in context, that wasn't what he was talking about. Blah, blah, blah. You can do blah, blah, blah. Now, let's just say I feel differently about it. And it's very helpful to be on the road and be like, hey, Liz, you understand me? What I thought, I don't think no more. Amen. God's got a plan for my life. If you're FaceTiming sex, okay, boom, show me the butt. That's like electronic sex. Old Kevin wouldn't have been cool with that. New Kevin, all them hotel nights alone, don't come a knocking to here. I'm busy. You understand me? I need to feel the way I feel so that I can't focus. I can't do no stand-up.
You can't all
that
focus background. Right now.
I can't. So Melissa had an interesting topic on her Facebook today. And this is unrelated but related. But this girl, a white woman, was arguing about race. And another white woman came to collect her and her things. And she said,
gathered her.
Your response, what you're probably feeling is defensiveness because your way of thinking is
the challenge.
And that's what I feel like happens with the church community a lot. Your natural disposition is defensiveness because your thinking is challenged, but this thinking is tied to how we view the world
yes.
and eternity. So I don't expect church people, church people to change that stuff easily because I didn't even.
Right.
I was, you know, and we talk about gay people and transphobic and sex, and we were taught a very narrow view of all these things. So me and Melissa are still unlearning them. Some people haven't got to that mm-hmm. point. They are where we were 10, 15 years ago. So all I can do is challenge that and hope you feel the way. But I get so much stuff, man. People are upset about Christian. They're upset about live. They're upset about this. People are always upset. So what I've just been focusing on is the positive stuff. People just be having something to be negative about. I can't be bothered with all your negativity.
I agree. The negativity is something that I try not to get too far down the loop on. But what I have found is that there's a what I've been learning, actually, that behind every critique is a want or an ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I take those and try to identify like maybe what you're really trying to communicate.
Yeah.
Well, these are not for the Christian people. These are just people that just like kind of critique what we're doing or, you know, have something to say. And it's like, okay, what can I gather from this that can get a little bit better? What people don't always understand is that if you're thinking it, I've probably heard it 50-11 times. Yep. And so you can get defensive because you're like, y'all, I just heard it yesterday from 30 people. Now you come in here today and tell me that I don't want to hear it. I'm sensitive. But I do try to at least grow from it.
Yeah, for sure.
And as far as like the Christian community who may think that what we're doing is too progressive or too secular, honestly, I feel bad for them. And I don't know if that's an appropriate thing to say, but I do, because I posted a picture the other day from when I was in, when we were in high school, and I had that outfit on, and I'm literally thinking to myself, why was I 21 years old
dressed like a missionary
and thinking that what I wanted to be was a church mother?
Like, I dressing like it. You had stockings on.
I wanted to wear, give me the longest
dance
down to my ankles. Give me this. And thinking that my what I wore was a reflection of my relationship with Christ.
Hey, yeah, bullshit.
It took a long time to recognize that that is something that is so personal. And that's why I believe the Bible says man looks on the outward and God looks at the heart.
Yes.
Because we get so caught up in, do you fit the part that I believe?
Uh-huh.
And all I'm saying is, don't, this, you can't tell that by looking at
Absolutely
me.
Absolutely
You can't
not.
Tell that by looking at
there
someone.
There was girls with full length jean skirts on getting smashed at church.
Yes.
So in some ways the skirts were easy access. There was girls getting smashed in the Sunday school room during revival.
Right.
But they had that jean skirt on.
Right. And all I'm saying is
full of peen.
And I'm still jeans pretty conservative in real life. I really am pretty conservative, but I've educated myself to do better, to learn better, to not just accept what I've been taught across the pulpit as what the word says, because those two things don't always line up. They're often infused with personal bias. And so learning for myself has been, you know, it just helps me to not, like, you'll get there one day. And if you don't, God bless you. Yep. This is where I am in my life. And I don't feel no two ways about it.
Listen, we were mad at Kirk Franklin for making Stomp.
Yes.
For those of you who think gospel music has gone too far, we were legit like, I don't, hip-hop. Like, it's ridiculous.
It really was.
They were legit upset that Kirk Franklin made Revolution. Mary Mary made Shackles. Like, people just going to be mad.
People going to be
mad. Shut up, Gertrude.
I'm going to tell you what you shouldn't be mad at. Creativity, skills, learning new skills. And you guys are going to laugh at me, but I really did look at the creativity episode, so to speak, on Skillshare.
Did
because
you really?
I'm a forever student, and these are the things that I do with my spare time. When I'm learning something, listen, I'm all in, okay? I'm learning everything about it. And they legit have a Skillshare session on creativity, and they tell you about, like, how to be inspired and how to, you know, like, sharpen those skills and, like, all of these things. I found it really fascinating, actually. And Skillshare has tons of things that I'm sure would be intriguing and of interest to you. It's time to explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with Skillshare's online classes. You might find something that might just surprise you and even better, inspire you. Skillshare is an online learning community where millions come together to take the next step in their creative journey, which I love because we're constantly talking about creativity. I'm surrounded by people that are very highly creative, and I just think that some of that stuff is kind of rubbing off on me, and that's what's allowing me to step into this creative space. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month.
Oh, yeah.
Explore your creativity and get 2 months free of premium membership at Skillshare.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
That's two whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to Skillshare.com/lovehour. That's two free months of unlimited access, thousands of classes, and all you have to do is go to Skillshare.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
All right, next question.
I got a couple. Hold on.
Okay.
One. When you guys moved to LA, how did you find friends?
That's the one I have.
Is it?
Yeah.
Other than work, Kev, meeting comedians, stand-up scenes, or you just talk about friendship as adults? First of all, we didn't have no friends for the first probably year. Scotty and Dee were our only friends because we knew them from Washington.
You knew Scotty from Washington. We didn't meet D.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Met D here. She's just seen with Scotty at the comedy show. But then I didn't meet nobody until I started working at ADD. And Melissa had her work friends from work, but it's hard to find new friends as adults in real life.
And honestly, I would say the friends that you see us with now were probably your coworkers initially.
Josh worked together.
Yeah.
Doughboy.
And the only other people that I really hang around are like Shari, who we've just known for, it seems like, forever. And then my sister.
And Greg and really Mel it. And the baby.
Yeah, my sister, my brother-in-law, their family. So like.
Ken Mose, he's
they didn't
here.
Have a choice. I know Ken Mose is here. You guys can't
but
see
he be,
him.
But he be traveling. He don't be here.
No, nah, Ken be doing the things. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that we really, do we have really good advice for people?
I don't know how you find
making
a friend.
Making an adult as a friend is low-key the hardest
also
thing.
Also making
on
friends
Earth.
As an adult. You said making adults as friends.
Oh, did I?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even hear myself. I was
you're so creative. You put sentences backwards.
What's happening here? Making friends as an adult is hard.
I think online helps, though. Meeting people online and then meeting them in person if they live in your same city. I think that's a big part of how people are finding friends as adults. But if I didn't work at ADD, I don't know how I would know anybody.
Yeah, I don't either. I really don't have a lot of friends, if we're being honest.
Hey, I'm your friend. You got a friend in me.
Big next
boom,
question.
Boom energy.
Listen.
You got a friend in me. Hold on. I don't know how many times I said big boom boom energy. I want somebody to take all the big boom boom energies and make a long video.
Somebody will.
We got this question a couple of times. Would you guys ever go to couples therapy?
Would you guys ever? Yes, absolutely.
I got therapy tomorrow again.
We're trying to get a therapy to sponsor the podcast, the whole network, actually. Dear Kev, Love Hour, and Righteous and Ratchet, so we can do online therapy.
Yeah, I am a proponent of therapy as a person who's
I low-key
one.
I would do it as an episode. I mean, let me be clear. Let me back up. I would go to couples therapy and then do a this is what happened, this is what
we
learned
can go to my girl.
Episode. I would do that.
You want to go with me tomorrow?
Does she expect on a couple or is she expecting? No, I want you to go.
Nah, man. Go with me. I got problems.
Go by yourself.
I got problems on top. She's actually a specialist in couples therapy.
Couples therapy. I would love to go. No, but I kind of want you to go.
Can't get no help from my sister or my brother. Yes, the answer is we would go to couples therapy. We actually talked about it a couple of times. We never did it. But we talked about it and we would do it. Probably will do it this year. Let me just jump out and say we're going to do it.
I will do it. Totally.
All right. One more question I found. Oh, wait. Hold on. I think I might have lost it.
This is a great question that I've asked all the time. Have nudes been sent? They haven't, though.
It happened. I'm just laughing to give you guys throw you off the scent. You know, we're still believing God for the day.
Listen,
where a picture of a smooth butt.
I just
hits
don't.
My phone.
I don't touch.
Nudes have been sent from my phone to hers.
I don't trust none of the internet.
Big peen energy, and I fire them off 3 o'clock in the
next
afternoon.
Next question. I don't
you
know why.
You picking the boys up from school? Check your phone. Penis. What are you doing, Kev? Showing you what you're missing while I'm in Kansas City, huh? So I'm trying to get her more comfortable with the thought of you sending me, here's a big picture of my balls. You see them? What do you think? Miss them? They'll be back Monday morning. Now, if you want to send a
Joshua
reciprocating
cut
picture
his mic.
Of the poom poom, I would love it. But we're still believing God. Trust me, if I get the news, it's going to be the podcast topic.
That's why I'm not going to do
nudes
it.
Nudes have been and deliver it. You know, just one day, Liz.
I don't trust the internet.
They have a new app. They have apps that are encrypted.
I don't trust apps. I don't trust the internet. I don't trust coughs. I don't trust you coughing right now today.
Ultimate
I think
Intimacy
we all should
has a secret app that you can send encrypted in their thing.
Someone needs to disinfect the entire.
Just keep your face out of it. Nobody will know it's your butt but me.
If someone gets your phone and think it's somebody's body other than mine, I'm going to have an attitude about that. How about that?
That's how far you thinking? If somebody steals my phone and sees a news and they think it ain't you?
Yes.
This
now
is
I gotta,
what you think about.
Now I got an attitude. I got to have an attitude with the whole internet, with you, with this imaginary girl.
That don't mean make sense.
It if you absolutely
do, okay,
makes
how about
sense.
This? Boom, boom. Just came up with an idea right off the top. FaceTime nudes. There's no proof.
If on you're, FaceTime?
If you're FaceTiming me, boom, titties.
Okay, we're moving
no,
on.
No, listen. If you FaceTime titties and I see it, nobody, once you hang up, that's gone. I'll take it. I'll take that as a compromise. I'll take FaceTime titties.
Next question.
Okay. Do you have one?
No, I thought you had one. That no, was I couldn't mine. Find it. Child, is there another question, Joshua? We're all over the place. I hope y'all are enjoying this all over the place episode. I want y'all to know I'm in here like there's no structure. We had no questions. Okay. Has there ever been a time you felt really disconnected from each other? And if so, did you work through it? That's a great question.
There's been times.
Absolutely. I think the entire second tour, or was it the first tour?
First tour was tough.
It was the first tour.
First tour was big, big disconnected energy. It was a lot, man. In hindsight, sometimes I'd be on the road and I'd be like, we really did that.
Wait, we really did
the tour. Oh, okay. We went from nothing to a touring thing, working full-time jobs. Yeah. Like, I can't believe it. It was a lot on us. It was a lot on the kids. It was a lot on relationship. It was a lot. It was just a lot. And it's crazy because we were spending more time than ever together physically in the same space, but because of all the other stuff we were going through, yeah, we felt, you know, there were times where we, and it wasn't all the time,
yeah.
It was, you know, but there were times where we felt like, man, if it weren't for the Love Hour and having to do that together, we might not have talked.
Yeah,
there was a lot of times the Love Hour broke up some beefs. We hadn't been talking. I mean, Lissa sat right next to me on the plane and I owned my headphones on, she had her headphones on, and then get off the armrest,
hello,
you know. So yeah, we felt disconnected a lot on tour and in our relationship. Yeah, what was it, 2018? Yeah. That was a tough spot for us. That I remember that Christmas at your dad's house.
It was a lot of there was a lot of transition going on at that time. I was coming off my job. I was part-time-ish. Actually, I was fully part-time by this time. I like thought I was going to quit, didn't quit, and dropped down to part-time.
That was the first thing.
Then found out that they were closed anyway. That was the first domino. Yeah, and that was like the first like point of transition. Then we started the tour and that started to transition. And then it was like, well, where do I fit in this world?
Yep.
And I wasn't quite sure about that. And the tour energy was weird to me because what's interesting, I don't know how much we've actually talked about this. I know I've talked about it with Joshua off camera, I think, that to begin with, even going back to that friend question, when Kev worked at ADD, these were his friends. Like all of those people were, and I don't mean that negatively,
no,
but I just mean like as a fact, you know what I mean? You worked with these people every single day, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. 5 days, 40 hours. Okay, we're going to allow it. For 3 years or whatever it was by the time we went on this tour.
Yep.
I never really interacted outside of like
a work party,
here and there with these people. And so trying to figure out like, and I can be really like socially awkward, mm-hmm, like in real life.
Big
I can
insecure
be
energy.
I can be like really weird about like hugging people, and sometimes I'll be like
Jay-Z in that video.
Yes. I feel like my energy is always like, I kind of don't want you to touch me, actually. Like, I don't know who you are. I don't really know how I feel. And some of it just goes back to like how I grew up. It just, I'd be weird sometimes about it. And so that can be weird. And like, again, just trying to find my place in it. It was just a lot of like transition. And I don't know that I was actually made a post about this, like during this season, that I felt like I was kind of like shoved into it and kind of learned to fly right before I hit the ground.
Man.
I mean, she was crashing, she was burning. And yeah, and it was like immediately, it's like as soon as things kind of started like clicking and I started learning again how to articulate myself and figuring out what was wrong with me and learning like my place and what that looks like. And if I'm being 100% honest, I feel like the Love Hour podcast saved me.
You did.
I feel like that is what gave me a voice. It gave me purpose. I just got emotional. This was not supposed to be a deep episode. Why did I get emotional?
I didn't do nothing. I didn't say feel your feelings. I just say nothing. I don't know nothing.
I don't know why I got emotional, but I know I'm sorry. Give me your hand.
Oh, it's okay to touch you.
Oh, if you're crying like Lauren and Cameron, but I do feel like, because I am the person that got like a lot of purpose and meaning and like a sense of identity from going to work, clocking in, doing a good job, being a reliable person, like being, you know, that go-to person at work, walking away from that, I found myself like, well, now what do I do?
Who is that girl?
Yes. I mean, literally.
That is, listen though, that is, most people don't, that is a life change.
Yeah.
Most people, for the most part, they go to work every day. Mm-hmm. Some people love their job, some people hate it, but people very rarely make a career. That's a big ask for someone who doesn't consider themselves, at that time, you didn't consider yourself creative or entrepreneurial. Your money story is, my dad went to work every day, my mom went to work, and now you're asking me to not go to a regular job.
Right.
Go on tour, be away from my kids, be away from my home. That is like that one song I did a 180 that everybody, Dua Lipa. It's, you know, I did a 180. Hey Siri, what's that song that I did a 180?
Oh, is it a pop song right now on the radio? Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's
I think it's Dua Lipa.
Yeah, it's like Leave Me Alone.
Yeah.
How does it go?
And I did a 180.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're talking
about. Siri, you don't never do right. Everything I ask you to do. Oh.
See me dancing with somebody. Doom, doom.
That's you.
Yeah, I
you
love
did
that
one
song,
full
actually.
80 or full 180. Crazy, which is funny. In the TikToks, people always spin 360 degrees around and say, I did a 480, but it's
just half anyway, the circle.
But that is a big ask.
Yes.
Like my dad, your dad, they did one job for 20. Right. My dad did like almost 30 years. Your dad did 20 years. Mm-hmm. Like you were doing this one path. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to work at the bank, have your kids, raise them, go to college, retire.
The
Wait,
end.
Hold up. Moving.
Yes.
No military.
Yes.
Not retire. Now you're not good at the job. Now you can't show yourself good at a job, but you're going to have to go and speak in front of people. I'm not creative. I got to talk in front of people. These are Kev's friends. Like, that is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel, and your husband ain't, you feel like I ain't backing you up.
Yeah.
You know, we have that. Like, that's a lot of mitigating factors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like we deserve the life we were giving ourselves because we went through some hard stuff to get mm-hmm. to it. We took some humongo risks.
Yes,
I remember when I told Tony to hear what I was going to pay them and then cover all the travel, and Josh was coming, and I was just like,
especially when you think that
money.
A lot of times people don't cover the travel and hotel and pay you.
They don't.
No.
Once I found out, I was like,
you get
most comedians are like, hold on, wait, you paying
and travel yourself, cover your own. We were paying for dinners, hotel, airfare, and you're getting a fee.
I found out comedians much more famous than I are paying rates much lower than I.
Yes.
And you got to get there yourself. And you got to sell their merch. I was like, I could have got away with that. The clubs don't even pay nothing. But I just couldn't live like that. But that, I mean, it was a couple months. I didn't know the tour was going to be profitable until 2 months. And I was like, okay, we actually have enough money to pay Tony and Tier for the rest of the time. Like, me and Melissa wasn't going to get paid first.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't know it was profitable until we could pay the people. And Josh was just a little baby. He had a little car. Meet me. He didn't know if he was going to
still got that
car.
Baby car.
And to this day,
I
still be like, bro, people's livelihood depends on us.
Yeah, that's scary.
I mean, I'm sure all the people who are talented can find another job. But in this current setup, we help.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know what the question was.
Hello? Do you have one more question and then we can close it out?
She said, are you coming tomorrow, the therapist? Okay. Here's a good question.
Okay.
On a lighter note, This is Andre Doughty.
Yeah, we need Oklahoma a lighter City. Note.
Most people compliment each other in a lot of ways. Liz, are you as funny as Kev off camera? Do you say but or create phrases like what you're talking, poom poom, etc.? First of all, Doughboy created all those.
All
phrases.
Those.
Literally Doughboy. Everything we say from our time at ADD, Doughboy has been the source of all the phrases.
He really is.
This is just an iceberg amount of the stuff we as a group have said.
Dumbest.
But I remember when Doughboy first said that, we was playing You Trash Fam. And we were playing Fortnite. He was like, man, I forgot what I was doing. I was looking at that butt. And I thought that was the funniest thing ever. He just kept saying butt like that. And people think that's me. That's dope. To answer your question, Melissa's hilarious off camera. Okay? Melissa has gotten funnier over the years. But she's funny at home.
I'm actually the one that's not funny at home.
Yes, because you're creative. My kids are funny. Joe's funny.
The kids are
Zay
hilarious.
Funny.
Melissa's the kids are funny. Hilarious.
I'd be the one bombing at the house. They'd be like, you going on the road? This guy. you know. So, yes, Melissa is funny off camera. Melissa's funny at home. We be having a good time.
We do.
At home. We be laughing and stuff. My kids, Joe is very sarcastic, dry wit humor. Isaiah
can't
get away
too.
With murder. Humor.
Isaiah
juke Melissa.
I was just about to say, but you have to like really explain it. He does two things. Okay, this is really random, but I'm happy to talk about the kids because they are much lighter. Isaiah does two things that literally makes me want to take his head off his shoulders, but because he is a little boy, I feel like he gets away with it, because if he was a little girl, it would be sass and like I would have
sexist.
To put you out. Yeah, no, absolutely. I recognize this 100%. Because if I did this to my mom, I wouldn't be alive today.
Yeah.
So he does this thing where, like, if his shoes are untied and I'm like, Isaiah, you need to tie your shoe. He was like, you need to tie your shoe.
But she said, Isaiah, did you pick up your towel? He said, no, but I did this. Ooh, ooh. And then he crossed her over and then walked past
her. Pick up the towel and then, like, juke me. Literally juke me. And I'm just like, I want to fight you. But also, that is really funny.
He's funny, man.
He does this all the time, and it is so annoying. But I feel like if you don't, I feel sorry for you if you don't have funny kids, first of all. But also, I feel like when you
suck at life,
like they have to be funny. But also, I feel like the boys, because they have like Kevin's sense of humor, it does make raising them like a lot more fun. But they do get away with
things. But they get away with.
They get away with
things. Because I laugh first, I can't punish them.
Yes.
Because they'd be like, Joe, man, he'd be like, he's so sarcastic that if I weren't a comedian, he probably would be getting whooped.
No, sometimes I have to tell him, you should watch your mouth right now.
He'd be like, all right, okay. Yeah. I push it.
He knows.
Here's the line. I cross it.
He knows when he crosses it with me. Because sometimes, but Joe will also check me quick, fast, and in a hurry. And sometimes I have to be like, you're right. But also, I'm going to put you out of my car. This is one last question because
okay,
I thought this
girl.
Was funny.
Okay.
I mean, not funny. How do you balance it all? I think that's a great question to round this all out.
We don't.
That's my favorite answer.
We don't balance it all. Somebody asked me that in the meet and greet at Kansas City or St. Louis. We don't. When I am on the road alone in that hotel room, I am away from my family. Melissa is texting me. Joe just made a sweet goal. He just juked these kids.
He played phenomenal this weekend.
When Will Ferrell is reffing their games, she's sending me a picture, and I'm like, I've seen every episode of The Office, and I'm just going to keep watching them over and over. Mel and Greg, the baby, they be at the house. They be sending me video. The baby was like, hi, Uncle Kevin.
And she was so sweet.
You know, like, I miss that stuff because I'm out here getting to the money. You feel me? So I'm trying to find that video because it was so sweet.
The real life answer is we absolutely do not balance it all.
Penis picture I sent you.
I love.
I deleted that.
Stop it. I love answering that question. Okay.
This is the baby picture.
Okay, say it now.
Hi, Unky Kevin.
She thinks you're on my phone.
See, man, Unky Kevin, you know? So sweet.
She thought he was on FaceTime.
But I miss that stuff because I'm chasing my dream. I had to tell my kids that. And I miss family stuff. And then we make up for it when I get home. Like this weekend, we're going to JoJo soccer tournament in Arizona.
It's gonna be
I've been looking forward to it.
Come, Joshua, what you
so
doing?
So much.
We really are.
So, but the answer is balance is a myth. It's a lie. Anybody who tells you they get it all together is lying. You can't. You can't possibly. Even like LeBron. He is the best basketball player of all time. And he's not at his kid's game every time. Because he's also playing in the NBA. So, you know, that's just not going to happen. Me and Melissa have to make the most of our time when we have it, because I leave pretty much every Thursday night and I come back every Monday morning, you know, 3 weekends out of the month. And this is a little tougher this year because the last two tours, she came with me. And this hasn't been like, it's not like when we met, I was already a touring stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. Like, even for the first years in LA, I wasn't going nowhere.
Yeah.
We was up in there every Saturday, Sunday. We was at church. You know what I mean? Like, we miss a lot of stuff, you know, but then we get a lot of stuff that we don't get. So everybody has their thing, you know. But the answer, people always expect us to say, this is how you balance it. You don't.
Yeah, I absolutely do not balance it all at all. On Monday, today's Tuesday, right? So yeah, yesterday I must have stayed up too late, and I haven't overslept in years, and I mean literal years. I woke up at 7:33. I have to take the kids to school to be on time by 7:40.
Did a fool one.
Listen, I was like, get up, get up, get up. Like, I was just, and I literally haven't overslept in years. And the only thing I could think of, it was the daylight savings, because mm-hmm. I literally woke up at 7:33. I almost wake up at 6:30.
It wasn't even saving time. It was like more like daylight giving away time.
It was. But I literally wake up at 6:30 on the dot without fail, no alarm, because Kevin normally gets up, and so my body is just used to getting up now. And
got up at the same time. Time was just different.
Exactly, exactly. So that happened, and then like 3 weeks ago, the kids wanted to go to Disneyland with their friends, and Kev was out of town, so I was making plans with the lady, and I heard this woman say, "Can you drop the kids off at 9:15?" This woman said 3:15. To be clear, we're talking about 8 a.m.
No, 5:15.
5:15.
Yeah.
8 a.m.
You're trying to get to Disneyland before it opened.
Before it opened. Was it the 5? Yeah. Child, either way.
Because in order to get to Disneyland during the day in Anaheim, you would have to leave at like 5.
Child, either way, I heard the wrong time. She called. My phone kept going off. I was in a dream. And I woke up like, is my phone ringing? Like, who is calling me at this hour? And she was like, how far are you guys? And I was like,
very far.
What do you mean? Far from where? And so the boys were so sad. I felt so bad. But like those things, and like literally, I don't oversleep, that happened. The Disneyland thing, you know, you feel terrible as a parent when your kids miss that type of opportunity, even though they go all the time. But anyways, that happened. So like, I don't always cross all the T's. The I's aren't always dotted.
And I have to let them go to the movies without me. They saw Sonic without me, and they were like, oh, it was so great. And I was just like, I didn't see it. But then when I go see a movie without y'all, y'all be like, daddy, why you did that?
Where's your therapist?
I'm going to see her tomorrow. I'm gonna be like, and they went to see something without me. And then when I went to see something without them, they said no.
So I absolutely do not. I think I've read like a clarifying part where she was like cleaning the house, cooking. Listen,
we have a housekeeper.
We do. Well, she comes once a week, but I still clean. She needs to come more than that.
She needs to come twice.
Because I am out here on a whole entire struggle. But she just comes on Saturdays.
Melissa be trying to do it all. She try to be a non-creative, creative producer, podcaster, mother, stay-at-home mom, work full-time mom, make every dinner. Fam, you cannot do. Take JoJo to every single soccer practice, create for the podcast, interior design. Like, she beats herself up if she doesn't do all that stuff every time. And I'd be like, bro, Postmates, though. So I want to get a housekeeper to come 2 or 3 times a week. I want a chef.
I absolutely,
if I'm going to be doing all this doggone traveling, my life should be easier.
No, I absolutely will not allow her to come more than one time a week, because I feel like it is important for me to actually clean.
Why?
Like, that's actually something that I feel like is important for me to do. Anyways.
It's important for her to be able to. She got to feed her family. You taking food away that little baby mouth. All right, enough of this.
All right, yep. We're done here. Anthony is here. Anthony is Doughboy, because that's his real name. I changed your name in my phone to Anthony Doughboy Belcher because we had the conversation with Tony, and I feel like I owed that respect to you. Okay. Any other last thoughts, comments? Okay, I think that's it for me as well. Don't forget that the Love Hour Conference is on its way. We are like 4
unless that Rona
away.
Kills us all.
I'm really, really, really super excited.
If we get dead by the
it.
Rona, you're going to have to send me a new before we pass away as a survivor.
Make sure that you get your tickets. We ran the last sale and it was actually really, really successful. So if you're holding out on getting tickets, I do plan on running another sale shortly. And I think that's it. Until the next time, don't catch the coronavirus.
Big pum pum energy.
Wash your hands. That's my brother-in-law in the background. Bye.
Bye.